Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X. We are presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. That's right. Not one, but two new sponsors here on Thunder and Lightning. Very pleased to welcome Yuengling Flight. That is the next generation of light beer. If you are a beer drinker, you know all about Yuengling. You need to check out Yuengling Flight, a crisp, clean, 95-calorie, low-carb beer. Tastes great, but doesn't affect my middle as much as some of those other light beers will. Yuengling Flight, the next generation of light beer. Hope you guys are going to be checking that out. Football season coming up. You know football and beer. They go together like football and beer. But check that out. And, of course, our friends at Dossett Big Four. My wife bought her last vehicle from the good folks at Dossett Big Four, and she couldn't have been more thrilled. And that's not a surprise. We're talking about three generations. The Dossett family has been serving the community in Tupelo and here up here in North Mississippi. Honda, General Motors, technician service centers, providing the best care for your car once you drive it off the lot. So if you're looking for a new GMC, a new Buick, a Honda, the friendly team at Dossett Big Four is ready to help you find their perfect fit. All right. So don't wait around. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go online at DossettBig4.com or you can visit them at 628 South Gloucester in Tupelo. Dossett Big Four, 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. There we go. I'm excited to bring – I'm very excited. First of all, I tried to make it with Dossett Big Four. I was like, can we just take my car note and we'll call it even. I couldn't make that happen. And then, you know, with the Yuengling, I was just like, yeah, I'll be more than happy to talk about your fine products, of which I have enjoyed sampling them through the years, sir. All right, Mississippi State football, it's almost here. And I feel that a lot of us out there are a little nervous about the season. am I correct in that assessment? I don't know. I think that when I talk to fans and when fans talk with me on social media or when I meet people out, there's just a lot of, I feel like they're already resigned to their fate. So there's two sides to that coin for me, guys. And that's one, I understand. I absolutely understand. Last year was really tough to get through. And if you think about Mississippi State football, you know, you had gone through what? From 2010 to 2022, you go to a bowl every year. Yeah, you don't have the high highs, but you were pretty steady and consistent. And then these last 2 years have just been really tough. They've been a tough watch. And that's the other side of that is they haven't exactly been the most exciting football games either, you know. So I understand the trepidation. But at the same time, guys, this is August. It's August 6th. Everybody's undefeated right now. You know, so I would encourage you. I'm not preaching at you here. I don't like to do that, but I would encourage you to take a deep breath and let's get into this football season together. You know, we're going to know the good news for Mississippi State and Mississippi State fans is that we're going to know week one. We're going to know in the first quarter if things are different. The end of the first quarter in Hattiesburg, and it's 14-0 Mississippi State, and they forced a couple of Golden Eagle punts, and they've put together a couple of nice drives, and Chapin's completing passes, and he's got time to throw. and on defense they're getting some pressure on the quarterback, you're going to know that this team has – when I talk about this, I'm not talking about in terms of, oh, well, now they're a playoff team. No, not like that. But they've just rebooted a little bit. Now, you think about how quickly things got out of hand against Toledo last season. I think that the idea that you could just control the first quarter against Southern Mississippi would be a great sign for this football team. The other side of that coin is go to the end of the first quarter and it's 10-7 Mississippi State. Or it's 10-7 Southern Mississippi. Or it's, I think the worst case scenario is something like it's like 21-21. Because in that scenario, you're like, all right, at least the offense is good, but goodness, the defense is just as bad as it was a year ago. There's no improvement at that point. So we're going to know by noon on the first weekend of the season what kind of team we have here in Starkville this season. My thought process is pretty simple. I'm trying to not be overly optimistic because I felt like 2 years ago, shouldn't I have seen that coming 2 years ago? They had a team built to run one certain style of offense. They completely changed it. Shouldn't I have seen that that wasn't going to be a good team? Last year, I picked that team to go 8-4. They went 5-7. Last year, I said 6-6. And shouldn't I have seen how bad that defense was going to be and how they were going to struggle? I guess I couldn't have predicted Shapen getting injured. But shouldn't I have, again, I probably wouldn't have predicted 2-10, but shouldn't I have been a little more like, yeah, they're probably going to win like 4 games? So I'm kind of fighting myself in terms of what I want to predict. I see a team that improved at a lot of positions. I think that they got deeper everywhere on the defense except for cornerback, which I think can fix itself, right? Part of the issue with the corners a season ago is that you were asking them to cover for 7-8 seconds at a play. You can't do that. No, nobody can do that. You can put prime Deion Sanders and Richard Sherman out there, and after 7 or 8 seconds, somebody's going to be open. So, for me, offensively, I love the running game. The receivers are a question for me, but I can't get over the confidence of Lebby and Bumpus when they talk about that group. They are locked in that those guys are going to be – they're stars in that room. Okay. All right. I like the way that Phil Loadholt was able to kind of reshape that offensive line. I think you've got some guys there who can play. I think Shapen's a good quarterback. I understand the health concerns, but when he plays, he's a good quarterback, and that's all you can ask. And then they've got two guys behind him that I really like. I like Cromanhawk. I feel like he is one of the most overlooked guys on this roster. And the Camaro Taylor is the future. And if you see him this year, it's probably not a good thing for this year, but it might be a good thing for down the road. So I battle the idea that, they could win these first 4 games. And if you're 4-0 playing Tennessee, what is Tennessee? I'm trying not to talk myself into a bunch of scenarios. I want to talk myself into it. I want to talk myself into the idea that, like, this could be a bowl team. And that's the thing. This team could be a bowl team. When I write down my final prediction in a couple weeks, I'm probably going to say State's having a losing record. I just think that the biggest thing to me is that in all of their SEC games, for sure, and then maybe Arizona State. I don't know, in terms of the whole roster. State's playing teams that are more talented than them. And at the end of the day in college football, talent wins 95% of the time, right? If you just got the better team, you're going to win. Last year, the only State that held out, State was less talented than 9 of their 10 losses. I will not allow the Toledo was more talented talk on this show. We will not be having that discussion. Not acceptable. But the other 9 losses, yeah, State was not the best team. So State's improved its team this year, but did they improve it to the level of Arkansas? Maybe. That's a game I could see State winning. Texas A&M? No. Florida? No. Missouri? Probably not. Ole Miss? No. Tennessee, Texas, Georgia? No. So you're an underdog in all of those games. And Arizona State? Arizona State is better at what's played. You know, you know my little game, right? If you think the game's a toss-up, do this. Who has the better coach, who has the better quarterback, and who has the home field advantage? State has the home field advantage in that game, but Leavitt is a better quarterback than Chapin, and I think Dillingham's a better coach than Levy. So I would give the edge to Arizona State. So if you want to be negative, hey, I made a brand out of it, guys. It's no big deal. I understand. If you want to play wait and see, that's what I'm doing. I'm a wait and see kind of guy. But if you want to be positive and optimistic, what I would tell you is that there are reasons you can do so. I wouldn't go overboard with it. I wouldn't be telling you that everybody's going to be great. That's not going to be the case. But you can absolutely find reasons to be optimistic about this Mississippi State football team and about what this season's going to look like. So let's go a little deeper into that. We'll talk about, you know, some of the stuff we're hearing around fall. Later in the show, my buddy Robbie Falk's going to join us, talk a little bit about some preseason practice. Not fall. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four.
So when are you going to check?
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. As always, not as always, just starting today. Starting today, we are presented by Yingling Flight, America's oldest brewery. This is their newest beer, the next generation of light beer. Crisp, clean, but only 95 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs. I'm just saying, if you're the kind of guy like me, you know, you want to just have one beer, Yingling Flight is the beer to drink. Glad they're with us here on Thunder and Lightning. So, let's talk about practice, man. Mississippi State, first off, not a lot of access. And you know, not that I go to practice anyway. I feel like I'm talking about this, trying to get my guys more access, but not a lot of access. But what are we seeing out there? What is happening out there? First and foremost, and this is, you know, guys, I like to say that, you know, the minimum you can expect is to play hard. Okay. So this is sort of in that same vein when I say that they look like an SEC football team, right? Shouldn't that be the minimum? Like, they play in the SEC. They should look like an SEC football team, Brian. Yes, I know they should. They did not at times last year. They just didn't have the depth. They didn't have the size. They didn't have the athletes. This team, if nothing else, at the very bare minimum, we can say they look and act like an SEC football team on the practice field. So that's a good start. I think you are seeing some of these wide receivers are starting to – I don't know that there's any separation in terms of, you know, the depth chart, but these guys you're starting to see a little bit here and there. Brennan Thompson is the guy. I didn't know a lot about Brennan Thompson prior to SEC Media Days. And when we got the chance to talk to him, very impressive kid. And you see the speed. Bruce Feldman, if you're familiar with his freaks list, every year he does a list of the top 100 players that are athletic freaks. Brennan Thompson made his list. And this is a guy with real speed, not football speed, track speed. The kind of guy who can constantly be a threat to take the top off the defense. So putting him on the outside, he's going to play basically the role that Mario Craver played for a year ago. But now you got somebody who's faster. And Craver was plenty fast, don't get me wrong, but this guy is faster. I asked him straight up at SEC Media Days, if in case you didn't see it, are you the fastest player in college football? He said, yes, I am. I mean, who am I to argue? So that's a name I've heard crop up a lot. Jerron Glover, the transfer from Michigan State, not a guy we've talked about a lot on this show and on the podcast or anywhere, but his name will pop up every now and then in these practice reports, and from what I'm hearing from people talking to people who see practice, that his name pops up. And you know, State needs, I feel like they're going to be fine with Thompson out there, that he's going to get the first crack at one of those outside positions. And the slot, I'm going to trust that Anthony Evans is the guy there. They need that other outside receiver. And between Marcus Allen, Jerron Glover, and maybe that's where Aiden Williams could fit in as well. They look like they're starting to get some options there. Aiden Williams is such an interesting player because if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're watching, and I know you are, this is always the point of the season where you'd stop hearing about Aiden Williams a little bit. Like he'd have a first week of practice, he'd be like, man, this guy looks unbelievable out there. And then when they start getting more into the detail-oriented stuff, he would fade away from the rotation. So I'm hopeful that's not going to be the case this time around with Aiden Williams because the talent level is super high with him. It's just a question of him putting everything together. I've heard some good stuff about Sadu Traore as well at that tight end position. He's a guy that, you know, if you listen to listen to Robbie and I when we talked about our all-22 rankings where we ranked every potential starter and said who we trust the most. I was low on Sadu, and maybe I should have been a little higher. Maybe I'm a little hard on him. He was state's second leading receiver last year. I just look at that guy and I think he's such a mismatch for he's too big for defenders and he's too fast for linebackers. I want a little more out of him. And I think with Chapin being a veteran, he's gonna find the tight end. One thing about this offense with Lebby and you've seen it with Kiffin too. With Kenny Yeboah and then with Caden Priestcorn and then with Daquan Wright, is when the tight end's open, man, he's wide open. You'll see throws to the tight end and there's nobody in the picture. And you didn't really see that as much last year. You didn't see that as much, you know, with the wide receivers either. And that's something that this team lacked last year. When you hire Jeff Lebby and you think about the style of offense that he coaches, you expect wide open receivers. And they just didn't have that. And I think part of that was because they took a while to get the running game going and they were just a little run heavy. And, you know, I think obviously having a freshman quarterback last year, you know, he didn't give you the opportunity to find some of those receivers. My guess is if I go back and watch film, there's probably some players that Michael Van Buren missed. And I don't want to hold that against Van Buren. He was a true freshman thrown into the fire for a bad football team. I think Van Buren did the best he could. If you keep shaping healthy and you have that veteran presence, maybe you see a little bit more of those big plays where it looks like busted coverage, but it isn't, if that makes sense. The O-line, I mean, they're working, you know, and that's the one area where I feel the most confident in telling you where I think the starting lineup might, it's not set. Don't think like that, but when I tell you that from left to right, Lewis, Owens, Keenum, Reese, Steen sounds right to me. It sounds right to me. I think that's your first five. Luke Work, Jacoby Jackson, Cannon Boone, Brennan Smith, all of those guys will work to find their way into the rotation. I think that's your first five, though. And I will say that of all the players that I don't know a ton about in terms of I haven't seen them play, Jimothy Lewis is the most exciting. I talked to a couple people when he was a true freshman. They were like, he's a guy that if he puts it together, will play in the NFL for a long time, that he's got that kind of ceiling. Got to see it. But that's what people who played in the NFL would know. That's what they told me. So fascinated by that. Defensively, the biggest thing is the fact that you've got options. And I will say this, and I'm going to talk with Robbie about this in just a minute, that they have the opportunity to play some more four-man fronts this year, which I think gives them a chance to be better against the run. And they couldn't have done that last year. They just didn't have the numbers. A guy like, you know, we learned after the first practice that Kai McClendon was going to be out for the season. Last year, Kai McClendon was kind of forced into the starting rotation because you had injuries to Calvin Dinkins and you had injuries to Kedrick Benley-Jones. A preseason injury a year ago would have just been like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. Now, with McClendon going out, he was a guy who was a big contributor last year, but you don't worry as much about it because you know they have enough depth. Now, and this is the same thing I've been saying over and over again. You guys are probably sick of hearing it at this point, but it's like, I know they have depth. I know they have enough guys. Do they have any stars? Do they have any difference makers? Do they have a guy that I can put out there? And I don't even need him to be I don't need him to be Fletcher Cox or Jeff Simmons or even Chris Jones. I don't need him to be that. Can he be? Do they have a Danico Autry? Do they have a Marquise Spencer, a Cam Young, a player like that? If they've got a player like that, man, that is a massive step forward for this off their defense in 2025. And then you have Isaac Smith, who, you know, apparently they feel good enough about what they've got in the safety position. They're going to let him play a good bit of linebacker. When I talked to him at media days, he was kind of noncommittal about that. Now you get into practices, and he's talking about, yeah, I'm going to be playing a lot of linebacker. I'm going to be playing near the line of scrimmage. That's great if you feel good about the depth in your safety room. And I like the safeties. I'm really high on Jerron Manning. That's a name that I feel like you're going to get to know in the next month or two. I feel like he's a potential big-time player. I like Tony Mitchell a lot. Really good in the spring game. And he's got the right pedigree of players who've been successful here before. The guy who was a highly recruited guy, signed with a big school, and then had off-the-field issues, goes down to the JUCO ranks and comes back up. That's where Montez Sweat was. That's where Jonathan Abram was. So that gives me some hope. And that's the same kind of profile for Jameel Burrows, who, you know, was a highly recruited guy, signed with Alabama, transfers to Miami, can't put it together. Now he realizes this is his last chance. And so with that in mind, you know, he's had a great fall from what I've heard. Fall. I did it. I'm sorry. He's had a great preseason. He had a good spring, and now he's having a good preseason camp. I don't need these guys to be the best player Mississippi State's ever had at a position. I just need him to be good. If the guys I just listed, if I can get Jameel Burrows and Jerron Manning and Tony Mitchell and let's say Jalen Smith as a transfer and then Dwight Lewis as a transfer corner, Jalen Smith a transfer linebacker, if they can just be good, then you've got enough on the roster to be a bowl team in 2025, if they can be good. All right, we'll talk to our good friend Robbie Falk when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four.
Roger, Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian, hey, Dad. That's Robbie Falk. Look at that man right there. Glad to have him here. Glad to have him here on Thunder and Live, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. 46 years. That's not quite how many years? But it's close enough. 46 years. That's how long Dossett Big Four has been serving the North Mississippi community as one of the top car dealers up here. If you are looking for a new car, a pre-owned car, a new GMC, Buick, Honda, the friendly team at Dossett Big Four is ready to help you find the perfect fit. So don't wait. Find your next vehicle today. Visit them online at DossettBig4.com. Or stop by the location in Tupelo, 628 South Gloucester Street. Family-owned destination. 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service at Dossett Big Four. Robbie, we've been talking about practice. Talking about practice here on this show today. And, you know, you and I, you have gotten a lot of practice access. But I know you talk to people outside of just what you get to see at practice. What's the thing that stood out the most to you, you know, 1 week into this preseason camp?
Just the size and depth that they have at most positions. I mean, they just got bigger and deeper at most of them. Well, we've talked about the cornerbacks, and that's a massive question mark for both you and I. But if you look at the lines of scrimmage, even from the spring, that offensive line looks a lot bigger for Mississippi State. Just adding Zach Owens and Blake Steen and Javen James and guys like that, just adding those players into the mix has made a big difference, literally. That group looks like they're going to be significantly bigger, road grading type offensive line. And I think there's going to be a lot of great competition there too, which is very much needed for State. They needed some competition there. They needed to get the best five in there. And I think they have a lot more options this training camp they did in the spring. So that spot obviously is a massive difference. Defensive line looks so much different than they did last year. Just the sheer bodies and the size of those bodies, it's night and day. They look like a team. And it's like I asked Jacoby Jackson on Tuesday, I guess, when we talked to him about going up against the defensive line and how much different that looks this year. And he told me it looks like what it looks like most weekends in the SEC. They look like a lot of players that they go up against on a week-to-week basis. And it just simply was not like that last year. So noticeably different looking group this year than we saw last year.
And something you've been talking about, I've read this on three, is that you feel like with that depth that Mississippi State has on the defensive line, that we could see a little bit more of a four-man front, 4-3, 4-2-5, Isaac Smith playing more of a role as a linebacker for Mississippi State, and that speaks to the depth that they've got at the safety position. So this could be, you know, we obviously, you want Mississippi State to look different defensively from a statistical point, but it may just look different from a formational standpoint as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think they definitely have the bodies where they could do that. And I think it sets up better for this roster and how they're built. You have guys that can move to the defensive tackle spots instead of playing straight up nose tackle, or maybe not being equipped enough to play on the outside. I think that this defense could be better run with a four-man front. And that goes for the linebackers too. I mean, I think there's some opportunity for those guys to really explore a little more and see their attributes come out. So I think that it's a great move to go to the 4-3 or whatever they want to run, whatever formation they want to run with a four-man front. I think that they have a chance to have a much better season up front than they did a year ago. And you certainly have the bodies to do it, and they're moving guys around. I think there's different things they can do with the personnel that they have that could make this a solid defensive front after the season that we saw last year.
And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's so many new faces in that receiver room. We feel like we have an idea of who can contribute. You know, we think Anthony Evans. We think, obviously, with Brennan Thompson going to media days, you think he's going to be a contributor. Aiden Williams is a guy I think we'd like to see be a contributor. You have some returning guys like Jordan Mosley and Ricky Johnson. You know, we couldn't predict a starting lineup today, but how do you feel about that rotation of guys right this second?
I think it's getting better. I think it's starting to come into picture a little bit more. It looks to me, in the small amount of time that we get to see practice, that Brennan Thompson has emerged as a true difference maker for this team. He's a leader. He's got the speed and the ability to do a lot of things in this offense that he didn't get those opportunities to do at Oklahoma. And I'm interested to see how it all transpires for him. I think Anthony Evans is kind of a very similar situation with what he had to deal with at Georgia, with kind of the log jam he was in, and the offense really didn't fit what he brought to the table skill set wise. Those two appear to me to be the guys that have really emerged as the top targets offensively. Jordan Mosley is another guy that continue to bring up. I think Ricky Johnson is going to make a jump.
Yeah.
I still have high hopes for Aiden Williams. Haven't heard a whole lot about him in training camp so far, but the skill set is there for him to do some big things this year. I like what they have at wide receiver. I like the different body types that they have, the different skill sets that they have, and I think there's the potential to do some big things, but at the same time, a lot of it is unproven potential. They haven't really shown it yet in a big way. So the volume of targets is going to go way up for Anthony Evans and Brennan Thompson and Aiden Williams, maybe even Jordan Mosley. They're going to have a lot more targets, and they're going to have a lot more on their back than they did at their previous schools. So it's going to be up to them to really hone in and take that next step as a player. And I feel confident in guys like Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans doing that for sure.
I feel like if you're a Mississippi State fan that wants to be optimistic about this team, there are reasons to be optimistic. I feel like if you're a Mississippi State fan that wants to be pessimistic about this team, there are reasons to be pessimistic. So as always, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. So if that's the case and the truth lies between why you're optimistic and why you're pessimistic, what is this football team that we're going to see in a couple of weeks?
I think that it's a significantly better football team. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the fact that they drastically improved the defensive line, and I think they got better off on the offensive line, that alone is going to make this team much more competitive than they were last year. So I'm asked all the time about like how much better are they going to be, or what's the season going to be like, or whatever. And my response is the same every single time. I think this team's going to be much better, but much better could be 4-8. Much better could be scraping by to get to 5 wins. I don't know what it looks like yet. Those first 4 games, you and I have talked about it a lot. That is going to tell the tale, I think, for Mississippi State this year. If they come out of those first 4 games and they're 4-0, I think this team has a very good shot of getting to a bowl game. Because at that stage, you've beaten a playoff team from last year in Arizona State, who brought back a lot of talent. If you beat that team, my expectations grow. I think that there's a chance that they could win a couple of SEC games at that point. So I think that if you start 4-0, there is a very good shot that you get to a bowl game. Now, it's not going to be easy. You have what, 5 playoff teams coming to Startville, or three or
It's
four coming to
four plus
Starkville.
Ole Miss, yeah.
You got Ole Miss, who was on the outside, that was, in my opinion, a playoff roster. The schedule just flipped from last year, so it's not going to be easy for this team. You're going to Missouri, you're going to Arkansas. Those are two teams that if you're improved, you have a shot to beat, but you're having to do it on the road now.
Right.
So it's not going to be easy, but a 4-0 start, I think that this team is capable of getting 6 wins, and that changes the narrative about Jeff Lebby in a big way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think even if you mentioned 5 wins, that means you beat two good teams, right? It means you won either one, you beat Arizona State and an SEC team, or you won two SEC games. One way or the other, I think you feel confident about the future going forward. Speaking of the future, Robbie Faulk joining Super Talk on WKBB 100.9, Talking Dogs. What is the schedule for that? We got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, so starting next Wednesday, that is August
13th.
13th,
Yeah.
I will begin that show every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m. on Super Talk 100.9, and that's in the Golden Triangle. So if you're in the Golden Triangle area, you will be able to hear that. If you can
And of
pick
course,
up,
yeah,
if
get
you
the
can pick
Super
up
Talk app.
100.9, if you're listening to this every day on 100.9, you can listen to my show.
You can also listen to it on the Super Talk app and you check
Brett.
on the website as well. Robbie Falk, you know where to find Robbie Falk. Thanks for joining me, buddy.
This is the first time that I think this is one of the first times we've actually been Thunder and Lightning on the show.
I think this is like your second or third appearance, but it
Yeah.
hasn't been enough. We'll have you on more often now that you're part of the family. So, family.
All right.
We'll be back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk, Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four.
Hi, this is
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning live, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by our friends over at Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Glad to have them on board with us. Now, you may be wondering right this second. You're like, wait a minute, hey, Dad. Hold on, hold on. I thought you were in Oxford today. I thought that, you know, the not fall camp tour was at the library. Why aren't you there right now? I couldn't convince myself that recording a live 1 hour long Mississippi State sports show was a good idea at the library. So through the magic of the internet and the magic of technology, here we are. That being said, the not fall camp tour got off to a great start today in Oxford, and I'm very excited that next week it will be here in Starkville at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. We're going to have that same lineup of great guests. Not the same lineup, obviously. Walker Jones and Keith Carter aren't going to be there, but you see what I'm getting at. You'll have those guys there. We will have those great giveaways from Gentile, from Pearl River Resort, from Super Talk. We've got all sorts of cool stuff. Encourage you to come by, and Thunder and Lightning will be live for that particular stop. So I'll be at Two Brothers until 7. Happy to talk with you guys. Please come out and say hello to us. Also, don't forget on Wednesday the 13th, the debut of my good buddy Robbie Falk's show, Talking Dogs. That will be live at Two Brothers from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. As he takes his first steps here with Super Talk. With his own radio show. Awesome for him. Very excited. He's got to be super stoked because this is just a local show now, by the way. It's only available here in the Golden Triangle in terms of being on air, but it will be available in podcast form for you to check out wherever you want. But he's taken over this. That's Jim Ellis's old show. So for a lifelong Bulldog like Robbie and a guy who I know has a lot of respect for Jim Ellis, just like I do, that's got to be an awesome feeling for him to be taking over and getting the spot that Jim Ellis once had for us here at Super Talk. So check that out. Talking Dogs with our buddy Robbie Falk. You know, he and I, we are slowly starting to take over. Slowly starting to get there. So, and then, of course, next week, or for the week after, the Not Fall Camp Tour will wrap up in Hattiesburg. My buddy Robert St. John's Ed's Burger Joint. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, to get down there and talk some Golden Eagle football. But more importantly, to get a bacon cheeseburger, order of Ed fries, Coke Zero, and a Captain Crunch milkshake. Now you may be asking yourself, Coke Zero? Yeah, I can't get back to Coca-Cola. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm done. I don't know that I'll ever have a Coca-Cola again. Maybe a glass bottle one, but that's about all for me. So first scrimmage is this weekend, and we get to talk to Lebby. We only have Lebby once this week, and it's Sunday at 6:45 p.m. So when I saw the availability, I was like, really? 6:45 on a Sunday? All right, well, whatever. So we won't hear from the head coach until then. So not a lot to update between now and then as far as practice and all that stuff goes. We'll just kind of wing our way through it over on the podcast. And of course, on the radio show, we will have some player interviews that we can go to and talk to some of those guys. I know we've talked to Shapen, and State does a pretty good job of rotating. They won't bring the same. We might get Shapen again, I would imagine, because he's the quarterback. But I expect they like to put new faces out there. So be it. That's fine by me. You know, I'm willing to listen to hear what just about anybody has to say. I don't know if I've made you guys more optimistic or less optimistic on this show today. What I would just say to you is this, because I feel like there's this big divide. And some people have been telling like, hey, Dad's really optimistic. I'm really not. I'm really not that optimistic. I think that this team can be better, but I don't know what that means in terms of wins and losses. I think you could see a much improved 4-8 football team. You could see a much improved, I mean, a 5-7, and I really feel like Lebby did. He might have gotten as much out of it as he could have. 6-6, and I'm telling you, the guy should be the SEC Coach of the Year. So, for me, there's just this fine line between where this team is improved, and they are improved. Don't let yourself think they're not better than they were last year. But what is that going to mean this year? And again, going back to what I said at the beginning, we're going to know real early with this team, whether or not they can be trusted and whether or not they're a team that we can look forward to watching the rest of 2025. All right, that's all for me this week. Back on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. And, of course, all the rest of the week on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Friday's podcast, we reveal the 2025 media poll. Always a pleasure to do that and get the thoughts of everybody else that's here on the beat with me. So for Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. We have been presented by Yuengling Flight, and of course brought to you by our good friends at Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.